Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and foodie debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Taking a break from G.I. Joe to do our Orbtacular Part 2. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
Can we start calling it the Forbulous? Like fabulous, but like with an orb in it?
But also there's four episodes of it, so Forbulous kind of works in a double way.
Oh, right? I don't like this at all.
Well, of course you wouldn't.
I mean, normally I would. It seems like a lot. It seems like a lot.
Oh, that seems like a lot, but a spreadsheet of every time we've ever recorded is perfectly fine.
Not enough. It's not enough.
I hope you appreciated.
Also, I'm soured on this whole four-way, whatever we're calling it.
Fatal four-way.
Crossover. Texas tornado match.
We started with the wrong one.
Well, mm-hmm. Today I
looked up on Wikipedia and it said, oh, it's part two. And I was like, yes. Ah, crap, what happened? And then I was trying to think, okay, so we started with part three. And now I don't really remember what happened in part three, but I know that the Warrior King isn't in it. So I want to know, why is he not in part three? He was in parts one and two. He's chasing the orb. It seems like he's the connective tissue. And then to not show up in three, it really, everything's thrown me off is what I'm saying.
Took a break. Now, to be fair for the people at home, I lobbied very hard to hold on to the Mortal Kombat one until we had gotten caught up.
Did we do one and two?
But we put episode three first because Chan forced me to.
Oh, is that what happened? Record.
Yeah, I said, guys, why don't we have three? We haven't put it out yet. We now know we're going to do this thing. Why don't we record the Street Fighter episode, then the Savage Dragon episode, and then release the Mortal Kombat episode in order for the people at home? And Robert Clark Chen and Gene Ippolito, the two people who refused to say their names earlier, fought me physically and tied me to a fire hydrant and beat me with a cord of an oscillating fan.
You can't look. The people we were 4 weeks ago are not the people we are today. And the fans would know that.
No, I absolutely. Yes, I agree that we should have put that one out first.
What
for exactly that reason? God, because Gina still would have complained that we watched three before one and two, and then the timelines would have been all screwed up because we would have had to be like, wait a minute, we haven't told them yet that we are doing this thing backwards in the reverse. And so I knew this conversation was going to happen. It was going to be even harder for people to keep tabs on what was going on.
Well, to be fair, when I just said it, I realized I didn't know if we had released it yet, because I don't know those things. I don't know what's going on.
You unless don't. Someone, I mean, that's a very legitimate
statement. Unless someone tweets at me, and then usually I say, hey, what's this person tweeting at me about? And then you guys are like, hey, Gina, we've been recording a podcast together for the past 5 years. We do it every Tuesday night usually, and then sometimes people tweet at you about it, and I'm like, oh, crap, I forgot about it. I would have been able to remember better if we had a spreadsheet, but no.
Oh, Jesus. And that, in a nutshell, is Knowing is Half the Podcast. You now understand our show and its complexity in it, quite frankly. We're doing a show called Savage Dragon, and Savage Dragon is a show. It's based on an Image Comics character that there was a wonderful episode of the Who Would Win show. So this is kind of a nice thing we get to do in that we did Savage Dragon versus Deathstroke. If you haven't heard that episode, you might want to go and listen because you're going to get a lot more backstory and information about who Savage Dragon is and where he's coming from and what he's doing in that podcast than you are about to today, because this TV show, this Savage Dragon cartoon, which aired on the USA Network for two seasons worth, doesn't really do a lot with the character. In fact, quite frankly, you guys, tell me if I'm wrong, I found the actual title character of Savage Dragon here to be very uninspired and uninteresting, despite the fact that he's a walking lizard man with super strength.
I thought he was better than some 90s cartoon protagonists, worse than some. I give him extra credit because he does go on to record Truly Madly Deeply later on in the 2000s, God, I believe.
God bless.
Right. I'm remembering now that you told me that I need to pull that up so that we can play it during the show.
I'll be a dream, I'll be a wish, I'll be a fantasy.
I have never in my life consciously pulled up a Savage Garden song to play.
Madly, deeply do.
To be fair, Chan, if you would have pulled it off, you'd be depriving the entire audience of what they want, more Gina singing.
Yeah, God, that's God what I've had America. In my head all day since seeing what we were watching and since watching it. So it has nothing to do with the podcast of this actual episode. But I will be singing various Savage Garden songs throughout the podcast. And when I say various, I mean, I think that might be the only one that I know.
To be fair, though, could you know any Imagine Dragons? Because you could also hit the back end of this as well.
Ugh.
The answer is no, she does not.
Radioactive. Yeah?
Yeah.
They got that one? Okay, good.
Yeah, right. That's
I've never wanted a copyright bot to strike this podcast so hard ever in my life.
We're doing the Orbtacular, which is there is a four-part Cross the Streams crossover event on USA Network that happened
random
Saturday.
I got another one. It's the Ooh, I Want You. I Don't Know If See, I
That's
need
the one
you,
I know. That's a good
ooh,
one.
Ooh, I Would Die to Find Out. All right, those are the two Savage Garden songs that I know exist.
I demand that we start calling this thing the Savage Gorbden, because it's got the orb in it, so.
God damn it, Chan. That one got me. That one hit me right in the gut, and it hurts right now. Oh for F's sake.
This is how someday there's going to be they're going to be moving the population of the Earth to like a different galaxy, a different solar system, a different planet, whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a lottery to decide who goes, and they're going to be looking at people's backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And one of us is going to win that lottery, and they're going to say, okay, you know, like a 60-year-old man worked in the gaming industry for a really long time. Oh, it says here he hosted a podcast. Okay. Oh, that's interesting. We'll have some creative people in our new place on the moon. Well, let's just put it on in the background as we're finalizing things for this moon trip. And then they're going to listen to this episode and they're going to be like, let's fudge it and pretend he didn't win. It's just cost you your spot on the moon, Ray.
And it wasn't even me. I'm not even the one making the jokes, the songs, or the puns.
No, mm-hmm. I'm just saying we're all associated with it. It's going to cost us all a spot.
Man, I feel bad for every guest we've ever had because they are also denied access.
Our web of lies has spread so far now.
Oh, God, there's going to be no one on that moon.
Take out half of Hollywood with this one.
It's going to be like the only two people we've never had on our podcast are going to be on the moon, sad, wondering, watching the Earth blow up or be devoured by a black hole or a big dinosaur or something.
All three, I think, is probably the answer to that.
Now, I'm thinking of that meme right now of the two people in space, and the first one goes, those are all knowing is half the podcast guests and hosts, and the other guy with the gun is just always was. that's what I got.
I understand that reference. Two things. One, I'm drinking, which is never a good idea.
Oh boy, here we go.
I've got my partner has made the Hemingway's daiquiri, which is surprisingly good.
Okay.
Two, and maybe this has something to do with the number one, I kind of liked this.
Interesting.
I liked the character of Savage Dragon.
Okay.
And this is odd because A, ACAB, I hate cops.
Yeah, I thought for sure within 30 seconds of this, when they're saying the theme song, which is basically about how Chicago has become overrun with crime and the cops need to crack down, they're heroes. I was like, oh, Chan's going to hate this. I will say I liked it because at some point Savage Dragon orders a bunch of chili dogs, but then I immediately didn't like it because he left most of them behind.
Yeah, there was a weird lingering shot on the chili dogs.
Yes! Like,
that somebody had to animate that. Why did you even bother?
I loved it. I thought for a second I was like, ooh, shit, like something's going to happen with these chili dogs. Like either there's going to be like a visual gag of like a seagull coming down.
Yeah, chili dog rat's going to come and drag one off.
Or Savage Dragon's going to like come back and be like, might as well take one for the road.
Yep.
And like none of that happened, and I was sort of waiting for like at some point, like I was thinking maybe we'll see all the homeless person people in the end, like they like have the box of chili dogs and that's their dinner for the night.
You waiting for like a post credit sequence where Samuel L. Jackson shows up and he's like, I want to talk about the Born from Initiative. And
I'm putting together a talk chili dog.
Chili dog. What I liked about it was that he had a real laid back attitude, and it was an attitude I had never seen in a superhero. And I get why Eric Larson would be interested in doing this thing. For the record, yeah, I was a big Image dude early on, and then like I ended up hating almost all of it. And Eric Larson was like a real prick to some creators that I was a real big fan of. So I'm like, ah, fuck that guy. But like I get like, yeah, like what if this were like a job and you're just like a regular working schmo kind of thing? And so it is 90s and a little weak on the dialogue and like a lot of tropey things, you know, that is you'd find in a kid's cartoon that I would, of course, I'm still like, ugh, that's terrible. But kind of just like the general vibe of it, I was like, okay, you know what? If this were on, I would probably watch it. I'm not going to watch it now, but no.
Yeah, if I was a kid, I would probably watch it. In our watch of the Florbtastic Florbular or whatever we're calling
it. Yeah, no, that's what we're calling it.
Somehow that's exactly what we're calling it.
It's what we've always called it. Ray, go back through, edit all the old podcasts where we reference this.
Every time you reference it, it'll be Gina, just that clip of Gina replayed over and over again.
There's a spreadsheet that lists all of the times that we say the thing, so you can just jump right in and do that.
But this was the first proper crossover, which makes sense because it's the second one in the thing. But since we watched number three first, so we watched three of them, and like, you know, from three to one, there were no crossover characters. And then, so this is the first time I was just like, yes, finally, like a real crossover. And I still want to know what the hell happened in Mortal Kombat, why there was no actual character crossover.
Well, okay, I got a lot of questions here because the orb is supposed to control the weather and other such stuff. That's what happens in the Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter episodes. And that's not what happens here. The orb does something totally different here, which makes you wonder.
They cover it. They cover it by saying, I've never seen the orb do this before.
Yeah.
I really feel like someone thought it would be a great idea to cross it over. And then they told the writing staffs, and all of them were like, the fuck we are.
Yeah.
Fine. We'll take an episode that we already have and we'll like shoehorn some stuff in. So what does this orb do? Oh, it does weather. And like, you know what? Today's going to suck souls. You know what? Over here, it's just going to be real strong and make someone stronger. Fuck you for making us do this.
To be fair, there's only so much like I'm going to control the weather with this orb and like some sort of plot is going to come out of that you can do. Like you can't do four episodes of like, okay, it can control the weather. A bad guy gets it. Now what? Well, the bad guy could hold nations hostage, I guess, or for money or this. Well, okay, what about the next time? Well, he could hold nations hostage. You know what? Let's just make it really suck people's souls and make you physically bigger.
I would have liked a line at the very beginning. It was like, as it travels through the dimensions, it will keep changing because like it reacts to wherever it is kind of thing.
Yeah, that was.
Give the writers free license to like, yeah, it just does something real powerful and cool. And, you know, let's move on.
Yeah, I did. You know what? I did. I like that because I was thinking, okay, so this is sort of the first. I guess does Street Fighter takes place in like a normal like Earthian Earth?
It takes place on normal Earth. Yes.
Except random girls are hanging out behind dumpsters. Other than that, it's totally
Earth. Yeah. Okay. Well, because I was gonna say like, oh, maybe it's like because it's now it's in sort of this you know crime ridden city that it's sort of taking on different. But actually, I think there is a simpler explanation, which is because there is a supernatural bad guy who has various powers of his own, which include feeding off of other people's emotions, that when he combines with the orb, it just sort of like supercharges him a little bit.
Well, you know, basically in the Street Fighter episode, it controls the weather. In the mm-hmm. Savage Dragon episode, it makes you more powerful. And then in the Mortal Kombat episode, it makes you more powerful and also deals with the weather. So I don't know really what's happening. I guess the orb is evolving as we go along. And yeah, sure. That's. I mean, I honestly don't think they were given a whole lot of rules to go.
But also, does it kind of make like? Do they ever? Once the Warrior King is here, he's like almost having like fainting spells. Did they ever explain that? Because if
yes,
okay.
It was the way that this particular dude was merging or using the power. It was tainting it or infecting it somehow. But I don't remember them saying that. He was connected to the orb in any way.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand why, okay. But they did say that it was because. So,
well, if we ever write that book on all the rules of the orb, mm-hmm. We can
very
we
popular. Can really, people are calling for it.
We can really do a deep dive.
I have a crowd of 30 people outside my house right now demanding this book.
Oh,
they just want to know the rules of the orb.
None of them are making it on the moon.
You guys, we have to wait 2 weeks to finish Wing Commander, and then we'll have a better idea. Listen to that podcast. Okay,
you know what? They're not. If they don't leave now, they're never going to get on the moon. So
that's it. One thing I want to talk about with this before we get into kind of the nuts and bolts of this episode is this is one of the most fantastic vocal casts of VO actors that like I've seen put together since basically G.I. Joe. And they
just,
have a lot in
just
common
based
with that.
On Frank Welker and Mark Hamill.
To start. I mean, look, Savage,
where was Mark Hamill?
Well, he wasn't in this episode, but he's part of the cast. Jim Cummings does the voice of Savage Dragon. You might be familiar with him. He does the voice of Winnie the Pooh right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But also
he was in Cabaret and, you know, he was Nightcrawler in one of the X-Men movies. I love Alan Cumming.
No, that's not this. No, Gina, we do this every time.
He's got
a good voice.
Cummings. He's got a good voice.
More famously, the voice of Darkwing Duck. Jim Cummings is the voice of Savage Dragon. And quite frankly, I didn't recognize him. So he did a fantastic job here because I did not get him from that. But also the main villain is Odo from Star Trek. That's a Rene Auberjonois. I can't do French. Chan, how do you say his name?
I was just gonna let you do it and fuck it up.
Auberjonois. I think that seems good.
I say Rene Auberjonois.
Genois, okay. Yeah. I would think Genois.
I mean, here's the deal. Fantastic. We love him. He does a lot more VO old stuff than I even realized he did. But you also got Jennifer Hale in here, who's the voice of Commander Shepard in Mass Effect if you play it as a woman. You've got, of course, Neil Ross. You've got Frank Welker, Rob Paulsen, Peter Cullen, Michael Bell. And then eventually, of course, you have Michael Dorn, Dave Coulier, and Mark Hamill. Like, for gosh sakes, you have so much talent.
But we got none of them in this episode.
No, you did get a Neil Ross. Neil Ross had one line as one of the gangbangers, and I noticed it right away, and I was like, oh, shit, that's my man Neil Ross. And then I look for him in the credits, and boom, there he was. Maybe we'll try to find that line when we get to it, because he's been on the show, so that's a good reason to go back and listen to that.
To make me do extra work? No, not really.
Here's the deal. Is there ever a reason to not make Chan do extra work? It's really one of the things I live for.
I can't wait until a week from now when in our group chat, which I mostly ignore since I don't do any work, Ray says, hey, Chan, did you get that whatever I asked you for during the podcast? And then Chan says, oh, crap. What day is it right now? And then And then Chan says, I'm on it. And then 5 hours later, Ray says, so what about that thing? And then Chan goes, oh crap. I fell into a wormhole of time.
This is hitting pretty close to home, quite frankly.
The number of wormholes in time that are around this house. Like, it's a good neighborhood generally. Wormholes in time all over the place.
You guys don't know this. Egon is already 25 years old. That's how, that's how it works. Weird. Yeah,
he's,
crazy.
He's already overdue for asking me to get a job on a show that I work on.
This is outrageous. Come on, Chan. Get it together.
I mean, I did tell him to put together a pitch deck. So,
all right. So he's actually working for the job he's going to ask me for? Okay.
He hired someone on Fiverr. So.
Okay.
Oh, my God. So this episode of Savage Dragon, first off, theme song. Chan, we talked about it a little bit already. It's not really a theme song per se. It's one of these 90s deals that they did where they just sort of just tell a story over some just.
I actually liked this. This sort of had like a Terminator vibe to me. I don't know.
Okay.
Play it and tell me if you agree.
Yeah, let's hear a little bit.
I mean, I was getting more of a RoboCop situation.
I mean, what's the difference really at this point?
Overlord and his super freaks held our city in their terrifying grip. Then a miracle happened. When I found him, he had no memory of his past. I helped him find an identity and a life. Now we have a fighting chance.
And then,
I mean, that's basically it.
So I will say I don't know this comic. I don't know this cartoon. So other than this 30-second intro voice, I knew nothing about it. So I was thinking, oh, this is our regular Earth, and then some sort of weird, like, mutant dragon man is plopped in. He doesn't know how he got here, and then they make him a cop. But, like, there's other weird mutants in this world, too. Like, we clearly see like, when they go to that prison, there's clearly a bunch of, like, blue guys and green guys. And so I was like, wait, what the fuck is happening now? So I don't know the reality of this world, apparently.
Well, if I could give the 30-second explanation of Savage Dragon, and Chan, tell me if I'm getting any of this wrong. This is as I remember it.
I'll be your dream, I'll be your wish, I'll be your fantasy.
Yeah, no, Gina's right.
No, I mean, I obviously you've seen it, Gina. You lied just a moment ago about not knowing it, because clearly you do. Savage Dragon is an alien warlord who was sent to Earth as part of an alien invasion force whose spaceship was sent to Earth in order to conquer the planet. That's his whole deal. Except for the fact that he was so bloodthirsty and so uber violent and so unliked by the rest of his crew, they knocked him out, wiped his mind, and then threw him down to Earth and left him there. And the only knowledge he has was like 5 straight days of watching television. So all he knows is like kind of the last 5 days of television and does not know who he is, where he came from. But he's a big green, like 7-foot tall dragon man who has super strength and has a great healing factor. And that's basically his deal. The story progresses.
That does not explain why there are other weird mutant men.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't remember him fighting a whole lot of weird mutant men. I know there are other aliens in the galaxy, and eventually, you know, he does remember who he is, and he tries to fight against the alien invaders because he's decided that he likes Earth after all. And they do. I mean, this does share a universe with the other Image comics at the time. So, so it shares a universe with Invincible. It shares
which
a universe.
Which is the same story.
Don't worry about that. But he shares somehow a universe with Invincible, and I want to say, what, Hellboy? And the other one,
Dark Horse.
Spawn. And Spawn. He shares
it. It's confusing, though, because like until we go to that prison, everyone is a pretty normal human, with the exception of the one bad guy. And then in the prison, it's just like, this is where all the mutants go. They all go to prison.
Yeah.
I wonder if it had anything to do with the chicken cherry cola.
Wait, were you trying to?
No, I just thought of it. That was Savage Garden, right? Isn't that the chicken cherry cola song? Or is that a different song? Now I got to Google.
I did Google because you asked for that. You asked for the chicken cherry cola song.
Yeah, and
song.
I said, is it Savage Garden?
I'm so upset right now.
But I didn't follow up with a Google. Now I did. It is, I think.
The song is called Cherry Cola.
It is?
It is.
I'm learning a lot about Savage. So that's 3 Savage Garden songs. Wow. Hit makers.
Oh, here we go. Like an early link on Google says, Chicken Cherry Cola and 7 other misheard lyrics. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, what is the actual lyric?
What? Why would I know?
Because you're all, didn't you just Google it?
I Googled,
okay, guys,
I didn't
I'm going to go ahead and start the actual episode here.
No, people, I am not going to sit here and have an argument.
Nobody wants to hear that, Gina. Literally,
look,
nobody.
We
hashtag
need
literally nobody.
We need the information about Chicken Cherry Cola. I still have an unanswered question about why there are mutants in a regular human world.
Maybe we'll find it through the episode, Gina, because I do not know what to tell you. There just are. This is a comic book universe.
I mean, you need some justification.
So if you guys want to check out this episode of Savage Dragon, it's season 2, episode 8. It's called Endgame, much like the Avengers famed movie, which did not have Savage Dragon in it, shamefully. The orb appears in our universe right here in the very opener, and two hobos. Is there a better way to call it? These are homeless hobos. Very stereotypical homos. Hobos. Oh, my God. Hobos. I just.
Wow. Are we going to bleep this off?
Fuck me. Look, that's a hard word to say a bunch of times in a row, all right? Anyway, one of them has a deep Irish brogue, which I thought was an interesting choice.
I liked it, kind
of. Well, what I love about this is you'd think these two characters would be very important. Like, one of them gets the orb, and it turns out there's a mean one and a nice one. The nice one is the Irish one, and
the mean one has like a regular Chicago accent, I think.
Yes, correct.
Which and makes so it even weirder that the other guy just has an Irish accent.
Don't worry about that. He came all the way from Ireland and it just never worked out for him.
No, this is
sad. It's a sad story.
It's 1910 New York is why you're confused. And there were mutants in 1910 New York. So this is very Earth reality. Quick sidebar.
Yeah.
Like a drink of cherry cola. You're hearing chicken cherry cola, and apparently that's common.
I was
going to
ask, why would it be a chicken cherry cola? That's not a thing.
Many people hear like a chicka cherry cola, but in fact, it is like a drink of cherry cola.
Okay, now we need to hear.
I'm not
going
to
do that.
No, Chad, we have to hear it.
Absolutely not.
Now I'm invested. I have to hear it.
Oh, Christ, you people!
I'm going to talk about these homeless people some more, Chan. You find our clip.
One of
try not to
clearly,
make any
clearly
homophobic
watches,
slurs while you're doing that.
I swear to God.
The mean homeless guy clearly watches a lot of Fox News at the homeless shelter.
Yes.
Oh, without question. Yeah. He's real mean, and there's this fire/electricity monster called the Fiend, and he eats hate, which I thought was real interesting. And so I don't know why he hasn't paid me a visit. And so he says, ooh, this guy's real mean. This is going to be real tasty. And then he eats him. Like, the guy goes into a building. He gets eaten by the monster. And the monster takes over his, like, body. He now looks like the dude, which I guess is a thing, except that a lot of the things they establish early on don't matter 5 minutes later into this episode, which I thought
he got absorbed into him or something like that. He, like, absorbs him. But the homeless dude is, like, mean in a very specific way, which is he's, like, pissed off that people are helping homeless people.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Which is like, and I'm sure there are people like this that exist. Like,
oh,
I am 100% sure. But he is very mad that people are giving out soup at the soup kitchen.
Of course there are people like this. They're called Republicans. And the fucked up thing is that this is almost 30 years gone now, like mid-90s, something like that. And at even at this time, people were like, yes, homeless people are human beings who deserve some dignity or charity or something, some form of sympathy. And now it is completely normal. If someone came up and started talking about, oh, we're going to soup kitchens, these give people charity and then you get a handout, I'd be like, yeah, that's totally normal. That guy voted for Trump along with 60 million other people in the country.
I'm trying to find the flaw in your argument, Chan, but there is none.
Jay, no.
Keep ranting, and there's going to be a demon outside your window eating your hate.
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
Okay, that was a chuh. I will say it did sound like a chicka cherry cola, but that was not a duh. That was a chuh.
Like a drink of cherry cola. Drink. Like,
I mean, I'm
Jay
no rock star, but they do have to enunciate weird when they do songs to make them flow.
Also,
better.
This band is terrible, so it stands to reason.
Like a chicka cherry cola.
Like a chicka cherry cola.
It's a stretch.
It's a great song.
It's a stretch. Savage Dragon. It's a stretch.
Yeah.
When does Savage Dragon join Savage Garden? Is that in the fourth part of the Blurbtastic Blurbular? Well,
I think you said the song was 2003, so it's a few years later.
Oh, man. He must have really hit some hard times.
Not as bad as this poor homeless guy who just was murdered. We should probably point out
he's eaten by the monster.
As hard as Savage Garden, and arguably being murdered is easier times than what happened to Savage Garden.
I mean, Savage Garden is a hard band. You know, they got an edge to them very clearly when you hear Chicka Cherry Cola.
I'm honestly going to look up Savage Garden and see what happened to them. I'm sure they're fine.
Don't do it, Chan. They're going to be on the Masked Singer next year. What are we talking about? Like, that's pretty, that's probably where they're at right now. Or they probably teamed up with, you know, like Journey and REO Speedwagon, and they're doing like big concerts all around the country.
Okay, first of all, fuck you for putting Journey and REO Speedwagon in the same category as Savage Garden.
How dare
Journey
you?
Journey knows how to enunciate and is beloved. Savage Garden is mostly a blip in the music scene.
If you think Savage Garden, for people that are still alive, first off, that Savage Garden isn't equally as beloved as Journey, I have a strong disagreement with you right now.
No,
TV's Gina Ippolito.
You're crazy. Was Savage Garden ever on the Glee soundtrack? No.
I mean, for all I know, they might have been.
It seems like the sort of band that
it
would be on the
like
Glee soundtrack.
Very possibly,
Gina. They promoted the show with Journey, and then there's a Family Guy episode where they're all singing Journey in the bar, and everyone drops what they're doing because they love Journey so much. Journey is way, way more beloved than Savage Garden.
Apparently, the Savage Garden is an Australian duo, so two guys. They broke up in 2001. Apparently, Darren Hayes, who went on to a solo career after that, rejected Glee because they wanted to cover Savage Garden.
What's
and
up
he said
now?
No.
What's up now?
So it wasn't in it.
Yeah, but it should have.
Never
been.
Mind. Hold on. Nope. Apparently, it was.
Well,
but I don't remember it, and I had two DVDs soundtrack.
So officially, Savage Garden song was on the Glee soundtrack. Is that
what
you're saying?
No, I owned two CDs of the Glee soundtrack.
Doesn't sound like you listened to them.
No, Journey is prominent on there. Also, all you have to do is just look up, like, you know, hits. Which has more paid gets more awards and downloads and things. And
I like how you've decided to take Journey up on this, but fuck REO Speedwagon. They can go suck a lemon.
Here's the thing. You could make an argument that REO Speedwagon is in the same category as Savage Garden. There's no argument that Journey is in the same. Your mouth.
Look, they did Don't Stop Believing, right? Is that their big song?
29 years old or something?
I wish. Holy shit, can I be?
No, because you would be the fucking worst. You'd be like one of those people that's like, you can't part your hair on the side.
Gina,
you can't wear skinny jeans.
Gina, for the record, when I was 29 years old, I was the fucking worst. So this all holds together.
I have not heard a word you guys said for the past couple of minutes because I've been going down a wormhole of time of Glee and Savage Garden. Apparently, the thing that I saw was not official Glee. It was fan fiction. So Savage Garden has never been on Glee.
Thank you.
And it appears that Darren Hayes said that he doesn't know Glee, but he would be happy to have it on there because he wants to, quote, add an extension to his house, unquote. So,
okay, so that's even worse. They wanted to be on Glee and didn't make it on Glee.
Well, who doesn't want to be on Glee, first off? You know, as soon as, you know, I think I speak for all of us when I could say we'd all love to be on Glee. Is Glee still on? Is that still a thing?
No way. Like, half that cast is dead now.
Oh my God, what happened?
Jesus.
I don't think that show was that old.
WWF in the 80s?
It's not that old. It's just there's a bit of series of unfortunate events. One, I think, was a pedophile who killed himself. Another was a drug addict who died of an overdose. And then that one, like, died in a weird boat. Like, she fell off a boat and drowned. Like,
she died in a weird boat?
Yeah,
it was
like
a boat shaped like a giant duck. It was real weird.
Yeah, it was like the Willy Wonka boat.
But sure. To be fair, Gina, the way you've just described it, it does sound just like WWF of the 1980s. I've been watching a lot of Dark Side of the Ring is what I'm trying to say.
Definitely, it's cursed. It's a
great show, isn't it?
Pretty good. It's really getting my juices flowing again. Just for the record. Look, Jim Cornette's my new hero. I've said it to you off the record. I want it on the record. I am having a blast listening to Jim Cornette laughing and just being a cranky old F.
He's got a podcast if you want
everything.
To just.
Oh, I was listening to it for the first time earlier today, and he spent. I've heard like 20 minutes of it, and all he's done is complain about an 18-year-old who crashed into a fence in front of his house. That's it. That's all he's talked about, and it's still going, and it won't stop. And I'm loving it. I am loving it, and I don't even know why. It's not. It's so good though. Look, I'm a big fan. Big fan, Jim.
This is going to go into. One of those things at the bottom of your podcast player when it's like, if you like listening to No Eggs Half the Podcast, perhaps you would enjoy some old Southern dude complaining about kids in his fence.
It's fantastic.
AKA the Jim Cornette show.
Side note, I just received yesterday a VHS to digital converter. And I feel like if I get motivated, I'm going to try to find a bunch of my old wrestling matches from when I had hair and from when I was very young. And I have all these VCR tapes in my garage now forever. And before those VCR tapes rot away, if they haven't already, I would love to get these things on digital and put them on YouTube. Is this a thing the people at home would be interested in seeing? Would
Patreon.
You like to see old
Patreon exclusive?
Patreon exclusive. I love this. Patreon exclusive. Would you like to see old Ray wrestling matches? Did you know the first match I ever did as Almighty Ray is already on YouTube? If you have not found it, I'll put a link on Patreon for you. It's excellent. I'm very bad. I'm very, very green and scared out of my mind. And it's a lot of fun.
But did you wrestle Luchasaurus? On tape.
Well, that's already on the internet. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Sparring. I wrestled Luchasaurus in sparring, not in like a real match. But I trained, like, guys, for you that don't know, I used to be a professional wrestler. And I trained with some people who are bigger now, Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy, aka Jack Perry, and Austin is Luchasaurus. That's great. And so I know both of these guys from back in our training days. We trained together a long time, and Jungle Boy was very, very, very young when we were training together.
He is still young. How could
he's
you
still
possibly...
crazy young? I trained with him when he was probably like what, like 12 years old, maybe if even. Like, yeah, it was a long time ago, and so it's kind of fun because some of these old training videos are online on YouTube right now, and you can see me sparring with Luchasaurus. If that is a thing you would like to see. I don't know.
Oh my God. Well, I am watching it right now.
Oh, did you find it already? So it's obviously not hard to find.
Wow. Okay. This is really freaking me out.
I was going to say, this will probably blow your mind right about now. Because like nobody in my life now, I'm far enough removed from it, and I'm like, so many new people have come into my sphere since I've done it that like nobody in my life now even like remembers I wrestled. I have to remind them. It's embarrassing. I didn't even really know Chan that good when I was wrestling, which is a shame because he probably would have come to the matches.
Did you say that good? Did you just really say that good? I can't host this podcast anymore.
That good? What are you talking about, Gina?
Ugh, I'm done.
I thought you fell asleep.
I was zoned out, and then I heard that terrible, hideous vomit come out of your mouth.
Wait, now what did I say? I don't even know what I said. What did I say?
You said, I didn't know Chan that good.
Yeah. So?
Yeah, no, he was saying Chan that good, using Chan as a verb.
Yeah.
Like people do, you know. Chan that thing good, man. Yeah. Really get in there. Just chan
that's,
it up.
That's how I meant it. Like, I don't know what Gina's talking about. I'm very confused.
Yeah,
right
you should
now.
Pay more closer. You should pay more attention, Gina.
Anyway, yeah, if you people on Patreon, if you want to see old wrestling matches, just Patreon or on Twitter, reach out and just say hashtag. I want to see it. That's all I need. I just need one person out there. Give me some motivation,
Ray,
to do this.
You're not even selling this leg drop. That's terrible. Come on, man.
I don't sell things that don't hurt. God, I don't even remember this match. So this is you referring to that match to me is like anybody referring to a Gina episode of this show from 2 weeks ago. There's just no remembrance. Barely remember that it happened. We just know we sort of did it once. Anyway, we're like 40 minutes into this episode and we're on the second scene of Savage Dragon. Let's get through this. Jesus. Welcome to this show.
To be fair, there's not much to it. So we could recap it in about 3 minutes.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsy, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
America's number one comic book, thanks to you. So I started this company to make the toys that you asked for.
Spawn, Violator.
I hear the competition's flying around. They could be any place.
They're cool. Awesome.
Tremor.
Overkill.
Medieval Spawn.
And they come with comics.
Nice toys, kids.
Nice try, guys.
Spawn from Todd Toys. We're out to plaster the competition.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
So, okay, so the bad guy, Fiend, attacks the soup kitchen and starts flipping all the tables over, which is horrific, and I laughed because it's just so rotten. Warrior King at this point, Michael Dorn, shows up. You remember him from Street Fighter. He shows up again, and just like a dummy, he's just, because this is what I don't understand. He gets dropped into the middle of Chicago, dropped in the middle of like a busy street, and then just stops there looking around being like, I can't fathom what I am seeing. But it's like, bitch, you just came from the Street Fighter universe where cars exist. What are you talking about?
Wait, but first of all, did he see any cars in that universe?
Yeah, because there was a huge traffic jam because all the cars stopped around him. Nobody tried to go around him, but they all just stopped so he could just stand in the street staring at
them. I'm saying in the Street Fighter universe, did he see any cars?
How would he have not seen cars?
He was in some like weird like prince's castle for like half the episode.
Are you
going
to make me watch it again to find him looking at a car?
In like a weird back alley with tiny demon children for part of it. But like, are you telling me that like if someone had never seen a car before and then all of a sudden they're surrounded by cars that have people inside them and both the car and the people are making noises at you, you would then be like, this is fine, I'm not sure what's going on, but this is fine and I'm normal? Or would you be like, the fuck, everyone shut up, all right, I'm gonna kick your asses, what is happening?
What I got mad about is he came from the Street Fighter world, which is another version of our world, and he was in the city where there are
not
city
confirmed.
Streets.
The first part of it, I can't believe I remember this because we were just talking about how I had early onset Alzheimer's. But he was in like the sandy palace area. And then he was in the fuck woods with his fuck friend for a while.
Yeah, but they were behind a dumpster in the city. Like, there were city streets because city streets are there because cars are there.
But it was like the middle of the night and also a parked car.
There's no cars in this. There's no cars.
A dark parked car is not the same as like a bunch of metal demons honking at you during the day. No, Chad, whose side are you on in this?
He's still watching Luchasaurus beat me up.
If I were dropped into the middle of a busy intersection and cars were, you know, like screaming at me from all sides, like coming at me full speed, I'd be a little freaked out and I would freeze, as they say, like a deer in headlights.
Uh-huh.
This dude is like well within his rights to be like, what the F is happening here? he may know a car exists, but like when, you know, 4,000 pounds of steel and glass are like running up on you, it's, you know, 25 miles an hour, you'd be like, what the Jesus Christ.
But wouldn't you try to get out of the way and get on the sidewalk where the other pedestrians are?
I mean, like, if I knew what a fucking sidewalk was,
all right, fair.
Like, I'd consider it.
Well, we have a fight between Savage Dragon and the Warrior King. We now have our fight, and Savage Dragon gets over on Warrior King. He defeats him right there. So not much of a Warrior King, although Savage Dragon, pretty rough opponent. Let's keep it real. And he has a Warrior King has a stick that's like a divining rod to find the orb. Is that basically what he said it was?
It among other things, it's a shooty bang bang stick, but also
But he uses it for stick. Fighting as well.
Yeah, so he loses the stick. Savage Dragon takes him and Lady Cop, whose name I did not get even a little bit.
I don't think they mention it.
No, they didn't. They go into go to the police station, and he says, "Hey, Lady Cop, can you please find the stick?" He says, "We need the stick. Go get the stick." So okay, great. So here we go. The fiend shows up and then whoops up on the Irish guy, which seems very unfortunate. He gets the orb from the Irish homeless hobo. Make sure I say that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And he beats him. He takes the orb. Fiend goes for the orb and then gets it. He gets the orb and now, we're all in trouble right now. Cut to an interrogation room where Warrior King is getting interrogated by Savage Dragon. He's explaining his entire deal. He's like, "I'm the Warrior King. There's an orb. I'm Michael Dorn. I'm a Klingon. Don't ask how I got here. We got two more of these fucking things to do. Let's
Savage
get on with it."
Dragon offers him a chicken cherry cola, and he's like, "All right, I'll talk."
He did.
By the way, the cops in this scene,
they're fucking brutal.
Like maybe it's because they work with a dragon man, so I'll give them that. But like they're pretty much like, do we believe this guy's story? Like
that
they're
was
not
crazy
like,
to me.
Oh man, like there's only one dude, Mr. Nice Man. There's one guy.
My guess is that's the dude in the opening introduction. That's like, "I found him, and raised him to be a cop or whatever."
Oh, no, the blonde guy is not the chief.
Well, no, I think because there's the one guy that comes in is like, "What? This is crazy ass." Like clearly he's like this antagonist co-worker that probably like this is a shtick every episode.
He's the only one that's like, I feel like I'd be buddies with him because I would be like, "What the fuck? Are you
buddies with a guy 100% Trump voter?"
He's the logical one. He's the one that's like, "Hey, this 1,000%. Dude just came in here and said he's the king of some weird realm and he's looking for his magic stick and ball. Okay. And then the other guys are like, "Maybe we should believe him." I mean, it happens to be true because this is a comic book, but in any other universe, it would be that guy would be on mushrooms.
Well, this is
hold
the part
on,
I don't understand.
Hold on.
Because,
listen to his voice.
Orb. Now I've heard it all. This freak's a major nutcase.
Okay, yeah, you're right. That's accent.
That's a bad guy.
Great Chicago accent. People from Chicago are not necessarily bad guys, Chan. That's very tribalist of you, and I'm very upset right now. But the thing that I love here is the Chicago laughing cop is turning to the 7-foot-tall green dragon man from outer space and saying, "Guy comes through a portal with an orb? I've never heard of anything so stupid." And it's sort of just like, you already work in a crazy place. How is this weird to you?
This is the Scully problem. Like the first time Scully shows up, obviously, like you want to be skeptical. After season 4, I don't know. After like 300 incidents of weird alien shit, you're still like, I don't believe this.
You know, at a certain point, you have to ask Scully, "Do you really want to believe?"
She starts to believe eventually.
Yeah, way too late to make any kind of sense.
I mean, it's a premise you can't really keep going for that long.
Yeah.
Although sometimes I will say, like in the inbred family mom under the bed, sometimes there were logical explanations for things like, "Hey, this is a generation of people who fucked their kids And then the mom got into a car accident and all her limbs got hacked off. And because she can't feel pain, it was fine. And then she went on under the bed and now she's still fucking her sons. And there are all sorts of weird mutants who rigged up their house like Home Alone, except with bombs. That's a logical explanation.
That well, is totally on the level.
That's not a premise. So like if you have a premise where one of them believes and the other one doesn't believe and they go into it and 50% of the time one is correct and 50% of the time the other one is correct, that still means that 50% of the time some weird shit is happening. It's time for you to start believing.
I don't know.
That's all. Okay, so let's cut to a biker bar. Oh, the stick gets returned to the Warrior King. She finds it. Great.
Oh, hey, hold on.
Okay, maybe there is something to his story. If the driver of that semi-truck agrees not to press charges, you can release him.
What?
That's how it works.
Hold on. This dude destroys the trucker's truck, shoots a laser beam at it, blows it up, and it rams into a building, likely nearly killed the driver. Mm-hmm. And the cop is all like, make sure he doesn't press charges so he can move on with this thing over here.
I'm sorry. Did I miss the part where Warrior King is white? Because that's exactly how it works, Chan.
I mean, maybe that trucker's got some warrants out and he's like, no, I don't need to press charges. Charges mean background checks and all of this. And I'll just buy another truck. It's fine. Insurance will cover it, I'm sure.
Like if there were some small thing that happened, like he popped his tire or whatever, or just like dinged his bumper. But he shot a fucking space laser at the dude and almost killed him and destroyed his livelihood. Well,
yeah, Chan, but that dude has a good story for life now, though, which is priceless.
Also, you have to remember the Warrior King is very rich and he's probably suffering from affluenza and therefore should not be held responsible for his actions because no reasonable person could think someone that rich could understand there are consequences to bad actions.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Thank you. I mean, it makes perfect sense. If you, but again, this takes place in our world, so I don't see how this is very far-fetched.
world with people who have no problems just like shitting on homeless people and knocking over their foods and burning down soup kitchens.
By the way, the Irishman is so nice that when he gets the orb stolen from him, when he finds the orb, it's like warm to the touch. And so he's like, oh, this will do nicely on the cold, cold night, tighty, tighty. And then so he's like, I might as well give me blanket to another poor, unfortunate soul. So he like is in the process of like covering up another homeless person with his blanket. Saint. And then, like, gets his ass beat.
Just
by
fucking
this dude.
Ripped.
And, like,
destroyed.
Never. I was thinking, okay, maybe this guy will get, like, a reward in the end or something.
He never gets
anything. He's just a nice, sweet Irishman.
No.
And then
he got his cold toesies warmed for about an hour and a half. That's what he got.
And we never, like, check in with him at the end to see how he's doing. Like,
yeah, there's a lot that we never follow up on. The Irishman, the chili dogs. There is a lot. I like to imagine that he found the chili dogs.
Oh my gosh.
And underneath them there was also a house. And now he's good.
That's our Avengers post-credit sequence is the Irishman finding the chili dogs. I mean, what's under here? It's a house. You know, I think this is the logical conclusion to this storyline. In fact, that is now the canon of this episode. That is what happened, as far as I'm concerned. So two guys are fighting in a bar brawl. The Fiend shows up and he's like, ooh, I feel a lot of hate here. This is great. It's not the RNC, but it'll have to do. And so he says, oh, which one will I take? Oh, I've got the orb now. I'ma take both. I'ma take both. Wow. Cut back to the station where this Rita, the affectionate police officer who's thirsty as shit for Savage Dragon, or Warrior King. She loves Warrior King.
Well, clearly she has fucked Savage Dragon in the
past. Yes, she has. They make that point to say.
They've boned. And this is so weirdly out. Everything about this is so weirdly out of place in this that I don't. It was almost like they like took it from another script because there's like nothing really that problematic in this entire script. And it's in the mid 90s when people knew better. And all of a sudden there's like what, and Savage Dragon has like a chick as a partner and she seems very capable. And just when you think it's all going to be fine, this weird like slut comes out and is like, oh, I'm horny for both of you. And then like the other girl is immediately like, oh, God, it's this stupid skank that I hate because there's one other woman on screen with me right now. Mm-hmm. And the slutty lady is like, oh, my God, I became a policewoman because I wanted to fuck everybody. And you're trying to leave here with one of the people that I could maybe fuck. And then he's like, no, I'm taken by Chun Li, who could kick you in the vagina and have it come straight out the top of your head. And she's like, why are all the good ones taken? But I'm still going to hit on you some more, but then I'm going to walk away, all while the other girl is giving me the stink eye, even though we're probably the only two women cops in the whole fucking city in this 1996 cartoon that should know better.
Pretty much exactly what you just said is yeah. my feelings. You, I can't see the nail because it's been hit squarely on the head.
The fact that the tough, you know, men's gal has short hair and this other girl has long hair, long flowing
long
hair,
luxurious like brown curly hair. Yeah. Just mm-hmm. like a certain co-host of this podcast who is also a slut.
I mean, my hair did used to be curly.
I swear that she was red haired.
Was she? I thought it was auburn.
I mean, auburn, that's basically brown if it was red.
Yeah, it's brown with red highlights in it.
Fair enough. I'm not gonna argue.
I'll remember it how you remember it. I have no stake in this pony.
When you're complaining that Ray says what was it, do good or make good or like
he said I dis good Chan, I no good Chan.
Yeah, that sounds like Ray.
Shit, is there a copy of me in here? What's going on right now? That was a little too real.
The grammar issue that I have is this one.
I was born light years before your life even began.
This is
now, wait a minute.
Even I get this. 12 parsecs bullshit.
because she says, where have you been all my life? My vagina's tingling. And then he follows up with that.
Yeah, I was born light years before your life ever began. Light year being a distance measurement and not a time measurement. How the fuck does he know that it was in the past?
She asked him where he was from. And if you put a comma after light years, he says, I was born light years from here, comma, well before you were born. That sentence can work. Okay. That sentence, it's not good. It probably shouldn't. But that sentence can technically work.
This does feel like a sketch where he's just going to go on for 5 minutes saying, I was born light years before you were born and your life began light years before it was. And then you were born light years afterwards when I was born and when I came.
Yeah,
it's a good sketch. I've seen that. Pack theater. Get it done.
I feel like SNL stole that from somebody in L.A.
So they can't find the orb with the stick, so they don't know what's going on. And the key is the fiend ate it. That's why they can't find it. And they do the famed, what we talked about already, stop for chili dogs. And everybody gets chili dog, and Warrior King loves the fucking chili dog. I mean, respect to Warrior King. First off, yeah. New location, tries a new food he's not familiar with, gives it an honest try, and has positive feedback when it was done. I'm here for Warrior King's ability to explore himself. In a new
yeah,
place.
Yeah, I dug this because I feel like the easy thing anytime there's a hot dog joke in something, it's like, oh, this is disgusting. What's it made of? You don't want to know, like that kind of thing. But instead, he's like, the taste is unfamiliar to me, but it is not unpleasant. And I was like, yeah, fucking mow down on that chili dog. That is what you should do. And you know what? I bet he's going to go back to his weird ass, like, you know, flying wizard world, and like a week from now be like, damn, I really want a chili dog.
Now I want
he's gonna have the wizard one up for him.
Yeah.
Or he's gonna like figure out how to make chili.
That's
one of those flying
next
chickens. Cook it and grind it into sausage for me.
That's gonna be the next four parter is how the wizards learn to make a perfect chili dog.
I mean, I'm riveted, quite frankly. I want to know.
I'm just impressed that not only is he a Warrior King, but he is a king of courtesy. I appreciate that.
I also like the fact that he is never going to see that Chun-Li vag again. But when presented with new vag, he said, I'm spoken for.
I mean, it's not like it was difficult to turn her down.
What? She was hot.
Clearly, she has issues. And I feel like this Warrior King has been down that road with warrior maids in the past. Definitely. And been like, oh, man, no. In my 20s, maybe, but I'm not going to do this again.
Yo, he knows he's going to be out of there soon. I'm putting it out there now. If I start slider style going to a bunch of different universes and hotties are hitting on me in all those different universes, I'm a fuck in all those different universes because I know I'm never going back there.
Gina, I'm sorry for your DMs after a statement like that. Gina, why don't you slide into my universe?
No, I'm talking about I want specifically different universe dick because I don't have to face any DMs.
Yeah, it's gonna be the exact same dick that's here. It's just in a different universe. Nothing's different about it.
Nah, you don't know that. One of these universes could have the Warrior King in it.
Okay, you know what? I take it all back. That's a great point. Yeah. It's a great point.
I feel like there's a fuckable dude in all these universes we've seen so far.
You get a chance to get that.
Two of them technically were Earth.
To get that Warrior King Dorne D, you got to go for it, you know. Why would you not?
Yeah.
How do we get Michael Dorne on the show to talk about his role as Warrior King? I think we're going to work on this for Wing Commander.
He's never coming on now that I objectified him.
When you called him a Dorne star, it seemed real weird and gross. Like,
there it is.
Why would you even?
There it is. Oh, fuck. God damn it. That's really funny. Okay. So so now we're going to see a realm of gangbangers. And this is they're interrupting a street fair because the street fair is set up on their turf, which is some weird middle of the day shit. Where are the Chicago cops when things like this happen? Seems a little strange.
I was also like confused. Here's the confusing thing, because they start off by being like, "Oh, there's a dude that's like destroying a soup kitchen." Okay, so then when they said there's gangbangers destroying a fair, I just assumed, oh, this is like more of the like whatever demon dude. But it's not. It's just like regular just guys like messing it up.
The real fiend. The real fiend is us, Gina.
It's so strangely like keep it that it's the fiend doing all of this stuff. But the casual nature of like a crazy guy like messing up a soup kitchen and then like a whole gang of people messing up and they're not even related.
Well,
I get that he's going from violent act to violent act and sucking up that sweet, sweet hate, but it just seemed so weird.
The reason why I thought RoboCop for the intro at the beginning is, and you can tell it from the tone of the voice of the dispatcher. It was like violent crime happening crime happening here. I feel like the whole gimmick of the show is that Chicago's a crime infested hellscape.
Yeah.
And
okay,
he's the
you're
only,
right.
You know.
Well,
so.
can we hear some of the dialogue of the gangbangers? Because I really do want to hear that Neil Ross line. I want to give him some props.
Hey, look at me. I'm Jimi Hendrix.
There he is.
I can hear that. I can hear that.
I mean, that is just shipwrecked. How do we know that isn't shipwreck? I'm going to start there.
That's
it
true.
Might very well
I
be.
I could picture shipwreck like drinking too much beer at a fair and then like fucking up that fair.
Yeah, and this could have been, for all we know, this is like, you know, in an alternate setting where it's like 10 years before he joined G.I. Joe and was found in the desert with his boat. You know, like it's a thing that could happen. But I'm not going to lie. Out of nowhere, I'm like, God damn it, shipwreck's here. And I felt happy. Watching this episode.
I miss him.
A wonderful character. So the fiend is now escalating his work. He says, I'm just going to take the whole gang. F this. So he starts eating the entire gang and he morphs into this giant kind of body horror creature at this point. And he fights Savage Dragon and beats him. Beats Savage Dragon, flies up in the air with Savage Dragon and drops him from a very tall height, well above the city. And a warrior, this is crazy, because he's falling from orbit, basically. He's dropping down. He's about to die. Warrior King just jumps in the air and catches him mid-terminal velocity fall of this gigantic 7-foot-tall monster and then just catches him, and it's fine. How strong is the Warrior King?
Yeah, he's also like, is he flying or is that just all his leg strength pushing off?
I think he did fly, but it's a little, you know, if he could fly, why didn't he fly out of the way of those cars?
Yeah, I mean, they don't establish that this is the only part. So I think this is just all leg strength, him pushing off the ground,
oh,
which
boy.
Is impressive.
Here's Gina just objectifying this dude again.
Oh, my God.
Like, I want to rub my vagina on those quads.
I mean, here's the thing. It's the same way that Jessica Jones in the TV show, at least, quote unquote, flies. Because in the comics, she can fly because she sucked Miss Marvel. But whoa.
was that intentionally the term that you use there?
You know, she like
mad at me for what I said about Chan, and then you drop that on us.
I just
and expect us to just keep going.
She sucked her powers up.
Wait, are you thinking of Rogue?
No, that's oh yeah, that is what I'm thinking of. Why am I saying Jessica Jones?
What is happening right now?
I do not know.
Now, Jessica Jones in the comics can fly.
She can fly.
It has nothing to do with any sexual acts she may have performed on another superhero.
Yeah, she can fly. I'm thinking because she's friends with Ms. Marvel. She's friends with Carol Danvers in the comics.
Wait a minute, she can fly because she's friends with Carol Danvers?
No,
that's how
all you have to do is just be her friend?
Just hang around her long enough.
But in the TV show, it's just all leg strength. It's all just like fucking pushing off the ground. So I think that's what he's doing here.
Okay.
I think he's
that's what I thought too. Yeah,
really push it off.
Because it's not established, was it, that he could fly in either of the first two episodes?
Yeah, plus like when he's fighting those wizards in that first one, they're on flying things and he's sort of like jumping up to meet them. If he could fly, I feel like that battle would be a lot easier.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Okay, so we go to the state penitentiary after the fiend gets away, because that's where all the really, he's just escalating. So that's where all the really bad people are.
Also, I'm trying to figure out why this fiend character wouldn't just do that normally, because I think I guess his thing is to just possess angry people and then eat their hate or whatever. Why isn't he just hanging out at the penitentiary constantly?
Well, also, he ate the orb, so they couldn't track the orb with the stick, but now they need to track him, so he's just decided arbitrarily to just start walking around with the orb in his hand now. So they can track it. It gets a little funky in here, I'm not gonna lie.
He doesn't, but that outfit doesn't have pockets.
I mean, you're not wrong. So they go to the state penitentiary, they break in, and as soon as they break in, they see that the whole place has been overrun by the fiend, who's now gigantic. And he uses he's trying to use the orb to absorb everybody's power. He's doing the thing, he's getting real big, they're fighting him, and Savage Dragon's just kind of just like occupying his time, so that way the staff can like shoot a beam at the orb and take the orb away from him, like a tractor beam or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
And so he takes the orb away from him because it's just in his hand, like he's holding it like behind his back, like an 80s cartoon villain would, to cross his fingers when telling a lie. He's just holding the orb back there for no good reason.
Again, no pockets, and he clearly needs to be touching it to get its power. So what's he going to do? Put it in his butt?
He put it in his butt earlier, like that watch from Pulp Fiction. It was fine.
Real quick, there is a bit that I couldn't hear, and it really weirded me out. It was when he goes to fight the fiend, and he gets knocked down, and then a bunch
of
the inmates.
He gets back up again? He's never gonna.
That is not Savage Garden. That's Chumbawamba. All of the inmates start coming for him and start attacking him, and then there's just a bunch of chatter. I forget what you call that when people are just sort of like talking.
Oh, like the old rhubarb.
Oh, peas and carrots.
Yeah. Yeah, but like there's a word for that in voiceover, isn't there?
Yeah,
there is, and I cannot think of it.
Chuffa.
Is it chuffa?
Something like that.
I think it actually is something similar to that, but I couldn't.
Thank
I couldn't
goodness we have someone who works in animation and could tell us this information. It's the only reason we have you around, Gina.
Oh, it is chuffa.
Oh, it is chuffa.
A term used by the Parks and Recreation writing team, meaning the random dialogue characters say in scenes. It seems okay. Like.
Well, that's not what we're talking about.
It kind of is. Here's. Okay.
I like it.
Get dragon, you put us in here.
Because he's a cop and they don't
take
okay.
him. I thought someone said kids, and I was like, wait,
kids?
What?
Kids.
He did. He
definitely said it. He definitely said it.
He totally said it.
Look, that's absolutely amazing. And if I ever get a chance to do background voice stuff, I want to just shout kids.
Maybe it's not kids. Maybe it's drink a cherry cola.
You know what? That was a pretty good callback. I respect that. I'm going to give that one to you.
I don't feel good about it at all. Nice. I'm not going to lie. I feel like I got punched again, quite frankly. you thought Luchasaurus did me. This one really put me under.
I wish I had the wherewithal to just slot in, just have that as a sound drop, and I could just start playing it and then drop in chicka-chicka-cola. I can't. Well, I will.
You could do that. That is a thing you have every power to do.
I don't mean post. I mean live.
I know.
Just what a great joke that would be.
Every opportunity to do so if you so desired. I don't think the desire's there, actually.
No. Not even a little bit. I'm just living in a fantasy world.
So they take the orb away. They shrink the fiend down because that's just how it works. You take the orb away, even though it was enhancing his power and he still has powers. Don't worry about that.
I am curious because normally he possesses people.
Yeah.
He gets super powerful and then he eats them. What happened to those people? Because I was really expecting them to come popping out at the end.
I thought it
would be kind of fun if they had all of their anger drained away or, hate or whatever. That'd be just a fun thing to do.
What happen to them at the end?
They're gone.
He gets
small. The ghosts that he just sucked up out of some other dimension go away, but the people just...
We
never check in on the homeless people.
That seems like an S&P oversight there. That seems like S&P would be all over that and would say you have to show that the human beings are not dead.
Yes.
So I'm surprised. There's a lot of loose ends. If those people are dead, what happened to the Irishman and why is he getting shit on? I want to see a whole other episode. And here's the thing, to be honest, there wasn't a ton going on in this episode, so they could have fit those things in there.
Yes. They could have removed the slutty cop scene and they could have absolutely added a little loose end tie-ups here.
Yeah, it could have been everyone emerges from the inside of Fiend and they're all really hungry and there's chili dogs sitting right there and they eat the chili dogs and then all their hate's been drained away and so they start a GoFundMe for the Irish homeless man because he's so nice and they buy him a house.
Sucking on chili dogs outside the shrunken fiend. Such a slow burn.
We are not topping that. Let's get
build
out of
up. Yeah.
So the orb goes into the vortex and Warrior King jumps after it and says later. And then he's out and goes to the Mortal Kombat universe, except he never shows up in the Mortal Kombat universe.
Do we owe Savage Garden and John Cougar Mellencamp royalties now?
I mean, we owe somebody something.
We owe the universe
a karmic debt.
We owe the universe
that
something
can never be repaid.
We owe someone something.
If one of us goes on iTunes and buys a Savage Garden song, I feel like our debt's been paid.
I refuse.
Will not.
Not even.
Fuck.
Ever.
Okay, I got to do it now. Fuck. I was really hoping Gina would jump at that. And
no way.
That was a wager I lost. That is not not smart way of betting by me. Anyway, guys, that's our show. That's Savage Dragon, part two of the Orb-tacular, or whatever the fuck Gina said earlier. The foofin, farfin, nukin.
How
I don't
dare
know what
you?
The
she
hell
said
it
every episode that we've been
me.
Doing this.
I've got
I
some work to
I've
do.
I've said a different thing every time, though, to be fair.
And so, yeah, end game from Savage Dragon. You know what? This is an enjoyable show. It was perfectly fine.
There wasn't really a lot to it. I can't wait to see... Savage Dragon Infinity War.
Yeah, that'd be pretty great.
I think Savage Dragon.
In the wrong order. We watched Endgame before Infinity War.
You know, there are people out there whose first MCU Marvel movie they ever saw was Endgame.
I hate those people.
I don't understand how you live like that. How do you not like those people?
Well,
minimally, you wouldn't go see Infinity Ward first.
Infinity Ward?
Yeah. Infinity Ward, makers of Call of Duty, a fine employer.
Those people are not my friends.
Well, I mean, none of those people wanted to go see Endgame. They were dragged there by their significant others. And
they dragged into a 3.5-hour movie.
Love them or whatever.
Also, I don't enjoy seeing movies by myself. because sure. I don't want to talk about them right afterwards and have people like ruin them and shit.
You just want to smoke a cigarette and say, get out.
I just want to absorb it. I want to like absorb it and then not have to make like small talk about like, well, so what did you think of the movie afterwards?
Hey, so, movie, like, I left 20 on the dresser. Get an Uber.
I don't understand why people go on dates to movies is what I'm saying.
It's a great date because you don't have to communicate with the other person.
No, that's why it's a terrible date. You learn so nothing you can, about them. And then at the end you go like, oh, so what did you think?
No, you find out something very important. You find out if they talk in movies or not. And I think that is something you need to know going forward. That is a great is really first thing.
That's true, because that would be an early deal breaker.
That is it. That is it. You find out if you could watch a movie with them, which is, and to be fair, the older I get, just the quieter I want everything around me to be. So the idea of a movie date is really the only kind of date I'm interested in at this point. Because I just want no one to be talking.
Feel that. Feel that
Thank
real
you.
Hard.
Thank you, Chan. I had a feeling you might. Our houses get pretty loud is what I'm trying to say. Check that out on My Three Dads, also on this podcast network.
Oh, great. We'll be talking about my child slapping the taste out of my partner's mouth. That'll be a real fun one.
Kid violence will probably be a future episode that week. Oh, my goodness. Well, guys, do you have any final thoughts on Savage Dragon before we get out of here? Gina, did this make you interested in to go read the comics?
No, but it did make me want a chili dog.
Okay. Well, yeah. Baby steps.
Apologies to John Cugorb Mellencamp. Is that what I'm saying? Oh, I think that's what I'm trying to say.
No. I feel just shit on with violence right now. This is not. Chad just hit me with a chair for like the third time this episode. A verbal chair that caught me right in the head and busted me open each time. Oh my God. Just how? Why?
Nonstop. That's the inside of my head all day long.
Fuck. And that's our show, guys. Thank you so much for listening to Savage Dragon, part 2 of the Orbtacular. Go back and listen to the Mortal Kombat episode to hear part 3. And next time we're doing this, we're going to do the Wing Commander episode, part 4, and close out the Orbtacular. This has honestly been a very fun romp, a little fun side story. I'm glad we fell into it very accidentally. If there's more crossover things like this happen, I am very interested in doing it going forward in season 5. This did bring me a lot of joy. So when we finish the Orbtacular, though, I am going to reach out to our patrons on Patreon of certain brackets to see what other episodes do you want to see. So get some ideas ready. We'll be coming at you pretty soon to ask that question. Hey, Patreon, that's a thing you can get involved with. Patreon.com/knowing is half the podcast. Goodness me. You can go on there and for a measly $5, you can get access to our super secret vault. And what that has is what up to this point, like 500 episodes of the show. Chan, is this right? 500 episodes of the show? Is that even real?
It's not right.
It's not right.
It is definitely north of 400, but that was sometime in the middle of last year, I think I checked. And we definitely have not done like another 60 episodes in that time.
It sure feels like we've done a whole lot.
You know what? Actually, honestly, I should probably check because now that I think about it, we've done a lot of episodes.
Officially, I'm looking at it right now, 436 episodes of this show.
Okay. Well, that is still a significant amount.
Still a lot. You know, by the end of season 5, we'll probably be getting pretty close to 500. So, you know, keep going. But you can join and do that. If you're a higher bracket of the Patreon, you can suggest episodes and cartoons for us to watch, which we will be very happy to do. Either main feed or we did just put out a bonus only Patreon episode of Manchi Cheese, which, you know, if you're interested in that, it's a long episode. And if I remember correctly, we get real weird with it. Like, we all lost our minds about 20 minutes into that episode and then went for an additional like hour 15. Like it got like real weird.
Like every episode?
Like every episode, but this one somehow was on a higher level. And I don't know. Maybe we felt a little extra freedom because we knew it was Patreon only. But we lived in that moment. I'm not gonna lie. That is something that absolutely went down. Otherwise, we're gonna keep going with G.I. Joe Extreme.
Oh, so soft and cuddly.
Thank you. I'll go with that. You can hit us up on the Facebook.com/knowing is half the podcast. There's a Facebook group. And you can post stuff in there and say hi to people and talk to us, and we're all there on it. But a lot of the time we're on Twitter @G.I. Joe Podcast. Channing Sherman, I'm just going to call you out again. Thank you so much. He knows how to get it. If you want to write the show and you want to make sure everybody sees it, tag at G.I. Joe Podcast, but also tag each of us individually. If you only tag Gina and nothing else, and you ask her a question about the show, that question will never go answered. You will never get the answer to your question because she will not remember. And then a month later, she'll say, hey, some guy wrote me asking about a thing. And we'll say, Gina, do you have any more than that? She'll be like, no. So don't do that, people. Don't be that person. Be Channing Sherman, our hero, who properly tags us with every post. And I'm not going to lie, Chan, I'm sure it brings us joy. It brings us a lot of joy really to see everything tagged correctly. And if it had a spreadsheet attached to it, Gina would like it even more.
So when someone does that, we hear about it. Gina just complains to us. So if you do it correctly, it's the exact opposite. It's joy.
You get praised. Yeah. You get praised in a back room somewhere.
I get very excited. Otherwise, I get very grumpular.
Mm-hmm. It's true. She gets very mad about it. It's
because then I need to tweet asking, like tagging Ray and Chan.
So much work.
And being like, what do you guys know about this? Why am I the
only one?
And
then I give you the wrong answer because I'm mad at you. So it's just like, you're not going to get what you want here.
I think the lesson here is that we all need to go to thruples therapy. Is that a thing? We should figure out how that works.
If there isn't, there probably should be. We live in the future.
Somebody got to get on that.
I'm sure there is, especially in Los Angeles.
So you can hit us up at G.I. Joe Podcast, but individually you can find me at Almighty Ray.
At 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
And this has been part two of the Orbtacular. Until next time, take it easy, Chicago. Because that's
you really going to end with that?
We should have ended with like a chili cherry cola.
Oh, Chan, we may as well play the song to lead us out, please. So I was annoyed. I kept dropping him off the table.
Aww.
I mean, in a friendly way. And then during the sinks and the levelation, I would pick him up and give him a nice sturdy hug. Very powerful stuff. But anyway, that's my story. It's not very good. Let's talk
Jesus,
about
Ray,
dragging.
When are you going to start the podcast?
It's more fun when I'm the one dragging it out and not set. I'm self-sabotaging the intro just to piss you off, Chan.
Oh, yeah, no. I was dragging it out to piss Gina off.
Oh.
I'm too tired to be pissed.
Well, fuck, this
is
all big failure.
I'll just fall asleep in the middle of the podcast.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you got to sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Podcast, then y'all have to deal with that.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time.
It's true.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.